Well, let's get in the word right now. Let's go on to Acts in chapter 18 and verse 24 is where we want to begin today. Acts 18:24. Now, actually today we're going to be studying a man that is a Christian, was a Christian, and in that day, and he also had great natural abilities, and a great desire also to speak and to live the truth. And yet, he lacked one thing to rise him to his full potential in Jesus. He lacked one thing. And we're gonna just look at that today. This will be helpful for us as Christians to know that we don't wanna lack that one thing that he lacked. And praise God, in the end of the story, he did receive that one thing he lacked because he was a humble man that received instruction from others. And so this man's name is Apollos. And we'll begin reading about him now in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. It says, now there was a certain Jew named Apollos. And that really isn't a Jewish name, that is a Greek name, because actually he was born in a Greek city, born in Alexandria, which is a city that was in North Africa in Egypt, but very, very Greek. Alexandria was named after Alexander the Great, that great king of the Greeks, that actually had conquered the world in by the time he was 32 years old. And so it was a great, great powerful kingdom, and Alexandria was indeed a very Greek city affected by Greek culture with Greek schools and many institutions of higher education. One was called the School of the Platonius, reaching back to Plato. It probably heard him from history. But this certain Jew named Apollos, he was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. Now, if you remember, we had Paul on his missionary journey, the second one, and he came to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. This is a dear couple that he got very close to. They were in the same business in their trade, that it was tent making. And so they made tents together and witnessed about Jesus on the side, and they traveled together a little, and Paul came to Ephesus and left Priscilla and Aquila there in Ephesus, and they came to know Apollos. For Apollos came to Ephesus in 49 AD, and he was there with Priscilla and Aquila, ministering to the saints. Now, just to say a little more about Alexandria, in the Greek culture there, I mentioned higher education, there was a great also Jewish presence. And we read that Apollos was a Jew, although he was very affected by the Greek culture, as we're going to see in a second here. There was a very strong Jewish presence. At the end of 2 Kings, the remnant of Israel, after the Babylonian captivity, all decided to go to Egypt. And as Keith Green said in one of the songs he sang years ago, so you want to go back to Egypt. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. And so Jeremiah the prophet actually went with them to minister to them. And so we see this Jewish presence in North Africa. Because actually there Alexandria was at that time in the northern part of Egypt. And so there the Jewish presence. Now also there was great Christian influence. You remember back from Acts chapter 8 when the Ethiopian eunuch was up to worship in Jerusalem and he's in the wilderness and he accepted Jesus through Philip. And he went back and he was the treasurer of Ethiopia, which is right next to Egypt. And actually in those days they were pretty much combined. And so he went back and ministered to the people there, and so there was a huge Christian influence. And so this is the culture that Apollos comes from, and he was a man that was eloquent. He was an eloquent man. Now, this Greek word for eloquent is logios, and can also be translated equally as well as eloquent as learned. Learned. And so he did have an education, and from the Greek oratory stand, actually. In fact, in the Greek dictionary, it says an orator for this word, this Greek word, an orator. And so he had the gift of the gab, but also was well trained in oratory skills from the schools, the Grecian type way of speaking. and so considered a very eloquent speaker. Now, we don't have anything that Apollos actually preached in the Bible, unless you believe that he wrote the book of Hebrews, which some do, although it leans more towards Paul. But we do have a Greek orator with one of his speeches in the book of Acts, so that we can look and see and kind of take example from Greek oratory learning and eloquence of speaking, how Apollos might have sounded. So let's turn to Acts chapter 24 and verses 1-5 to get this example of this kind of training and how eloquent the speech is. Now, the Apostle Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem, taken to Caesarea, and the high priest Ananias wanted him killed. And so he and a group came down to Caesarea where Paul was in prison, but had hired a Greek orator, Tertullus, to come and speak. And so here we have our example. So let's read this. It says, now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, and here it is now, this wonderful eloquence of speaking, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by your providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, he was the Roman in charge, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious to thee. I pray thee that you would hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Man, what a silver tongue this guy had, as you can see. And so this is what we can picture with Apollos, actually. He was trained in this silver tonguehood. And so he had this going for him, actually, to be able to speak to the community and to actually enter the Greek and Roman culture. For actually, the Romans just adopted the Greek culture. That's what they did. And even though they were Romans, the worldwide language that was used over all those Roman roads they built to make one language was Greek. And so there you have it. And so Apollos was very skilled in this. Now let's go on back and see what else we can see about Apollos and these natural abilities that he had. And so in verse 24 at the end, it also says, here we have Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. Mighty in the scriptures. Now, there's a list that Matthew Henry gives us about what this means, and I love that list so much. I just copied it down. I want to read it to you. Apollos, having an excellent faculty of expounding scripture, able to quote scriptures offhand and tell you exactly where they were. He understood the sense and the meaning of scripture. He knew how to make use of them and to apply them, how to reason out of the scriptures and how to reason strongly. He was mighty in the scriptures. Also, it says in verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Now in Isaiah 55:8, it tells us the Lord says, your ways are not my ways. And so we need to learn the ways of God. And Apollos, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. So he also had that going for him. And being fervent, the next clause there in verse 25, in the spirit. Another translation says he had great fervor. In other words, he had a passion for what he was teaching. And so that was in his favor and a blessed thing. And then it goes on to say, after that he spoke and he taught diligently or accurately. He taught accurately the things of Jesus. Now in the King James, it says the things of the Lord. But the Lord and Jesus, New Testament, synonymous. Whenever you see a capital L for Lord, that's Jesus Christ. And it's important to know that he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. Because there are some folks that write in commentaries and so forth that he didn't really understand Jesus very well. But that's not what the Bible teaches here. He taught accurately, the things concerning Jesus. That's important to know. He's a Christian. He'd come to the Lord. Now it goes on to say in the last part of that verse, knowing only the baptism of John. That's John the Baptist, the baptism of repentance. He repented from his sins, came to the Lord, but that's the only baptism he knew. Now, in verse 26 then, we begin to read that that dear couple that Paul had left behind in Ephesus needed to talk to Apollos about the one thing that he was lacking. He had so much going for him here. It's just amazing to read about this man and these natural gifts and these things that were wonderful about his life. But as he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, verse 26, that it tells us here that Aquila and Priscilla heard him and they took him unto them. They took Apollos aside and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Or actually, the same Greek word that's used about him expounding accurately, that word accurately, the things concerning Jesus, the same Greek word is used here when it says that they expounded to him things more perfectly, more accurately for his life, to actually increase his life in the Lord, to fulfill all that God had called him to do. And so praise God for this dear couple that would go and reprove him and let him know, and praise the Lord that Apollos was open and actually received their instruction. And so the end of the story is good. And he eventually became the pastor at the church of Corinth. And so a blessing. But this thing that he lacked is what we really want to talk about today. You know, to expound accurately is a neat thing. And Apollos did have that in favor for him. And we're given instruction also in 2 Timothy 2:15 about that. It's a study. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's so good to study. It's so good to seek the Lord in that way of study, loving God with our mind. But oh, even more important than that is what Apollos was shared with by Aquila and Priscilla. What was missing? Well, verse 25 at the end gives us a huge hint, like a freight train dropping from heaven. It says that he knew only the baptism of John. There is another baptism that is most assuredly needed to go on to fulfill all that we need to fulfill in our lives, to have fulfilled in our lives through Jesus. And so just to review, let's go on back to Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. To talk about the baptism of John and what Jesus said about that and what further needed to be done. When Jesus had assembled all the disciples together to say goodbye to them on the Mount of Olives, it says in verse 4 of Acts 1, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. That's the baptism that Apollos had, the baptism of water unto repentance. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And so Apollos was missing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He knew only the baptism of John. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so very important for us to even exist from day to day as a Christian. For we are told in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We don't have the power to be all that we can be in the Lord without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we see this exemplified even in the book of Acts in the next chapter. Let's go on back to Acts chapter 19 and look at the first six verses. Now it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, which some scholars believe, as I mentioned, he became the pastor there, he had received the baptism of the Spirit through Priscilla and Aquila, and he went on to be the pastor there. But Paul now, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus while Apollos was at Corinth, and he found certain disciples, these disciples who had sat under the ministry of Apollos. He said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" So they're believers, but they needed to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a further experience than just believing. I love to explain it this way, and this is the way I have through the years. It's like a Coke bottle, if you picture a Coke bottle. When we get saved, we get filled to the top with the water of the Spirit. And that's the in experience, E-N, the Greek word E-N. I've accepted the Lord as my Savior inside my life. But then to take the Coke bottle and put it under a spigot is the upon experience. And you turn the spigot on and the spigot starts going into that Coke bottle. It's already full. So what happens? It starts bubbling out. And everybody around that Coke bottle gets wet with the water coming out, the living water. That we wait for the power of God, for the upon experience. It's the Greek word epe. When the Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. Dunamis power, from which we get our word dynamic, dynamite, and we begin to have a power in the Lord to live for Christ in the way that He wants us to live. Maybe some of you today have never experienced the baptism of the Spirit. You've been saved, you've been born again, you know the Lord, but there's something missing. Something missing. You just can't seem to shake that one sin that you know is not of God, that plagues you and keeps at you. There's not that freedom in the Spirit that God wants you to have, that sin has no more dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. And you want to be set free of that completely. The power only comes from the Holy Spirit of God to do that. Or there's those of you that you just feel like you want to witness for God, but you just can't get that through that fear barrier. That holy boldness isn't there. And the ability to be the leader of your home as a husband, to sit down with your wife and pray with her, you just can't bring yourself to do it. Or you can't sit down with your kids and just read them a simple Bible story. It just isn't working for you. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the power from on high. Apollos was eloquent. He had so many things going for him, but he didn't have the power of the Spirit of God. Priscilla and Aquila sensed that. He went and told him. And Apollos went forward. And that's what you and I want to do. Amen? Oh, we need the Holy Spirit today. There's no power without Him. You can't get by these things that the world beats us to death with. You just can't get by them. The temptations are huge out there today. And so many folks struggle and struggle and never stop struggling. Wandering around in the wilderness, here and there and everywhere. But oh, the Lord wants to touch us and empower us through His most Holy Spirit. And so Apollos needed that touch, and Apollos was open to that touch, and Apollos received that touch. Let's take a look at a contrast between Paul and Apollos as far as their preaching credentials. We looked at Apollos' credentials before the baptism of the Spirit. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. There was something missing. But let's take a look at Paul. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This might be a shocker to you. And it is sure liberating, though. A shocking liberation for you at this time. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And he says to them, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." Man, if we look at Apollos' credentials, you know, trained in the Greek, best Greek school, and so very eloquent in his speech, we feel kind of unable to witness for Christ. But if you look at Paul, whom God used mightily, wrote most of the New Testament. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom. That's not how I came. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I remember the man that just touched my heart to cause me to go to church and to start seeking the Lord, and Sherry got saved, and his name's Barry Felis, and I was at the beach, just standing there minding my own business. Actually, I was a lifeguard that time looking at the kids in the ocean. He just marches up to me, and the only thing I can remember him saying to me is, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, in a good way, you know? Instead of like we hear it taken for vain, you know, all over the place. But he was just saying, I've found Jesus Christ, and you need to know Jesus Christ. And why don't you come to church with me where Jesus Christ is, you know, and you can accept him today. And I was so blown away, but it was like living water splashing, and my heart just was thrilled every time he said Jesus. And you know what? You don't need to go to Greek school to do that. You just open your mouth for the Lord. You just open your mouth. And so that next Sunday morning, Sherry and I went to Sunday school with Barry and his wife Linda. And Sherry got saved that morning. We turned our lives over to Jesus completely that morning. Because the power, the work, the Holy Ghost through the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And so Paul says, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, for I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Wow. That doesn't sound like the mighty Apollos, you know. You almost picture Apollos with a hat on his head with wings and stuff, you know. He was eloquent. He was mighty. He was fervent. Paul's going, I came to you in weakness. But Paul knew something that's really neat, and we get this in 1 Corinthians 12, of course, that in his weakness, Jesus Christ is made strong. And so I rejoice in my weaknesses, says Paul, because then I know the power of Christ rests upon me. You know, and we got together to go out yesterday, door to door. There was some fear. You could sense there's a little bit of fear among troops, you know. And I think each one of us was a little bit nervous. You don't know what to expect. The night before, you have these imaginations, you know, being poked in the eye, run out of town, somebody chasing you with a shotgun, you know. Those kinds of things. We're going into a gang area. You know, the gangs are going, this is our street, and you can run, but you can't hide, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, that goes through your mind. But, you know, the whole group was blown away about how well received we were. It was amazing. People just wanting to be loved out there. It was just wonderful. We're thinking, well, let's make 1,000 invitations. We're playing with the idea of 1,000. Said, well, no, let's really step out in faith and make 2,000 invitations. So we made 2,000. They were gone by noon. And we're due to go out again at 1. We didn't have any more invitations left. And so we got to get on these Xerox machines all over the building, pumping out invitations. The first house that we went to, the person in that house ended up saying the sinner's prayer and getting saved. It's amazing. Glory to God. God is so good. When my son Jeremiah went to one house and said, here's a, you know, an invitation. On the invitation it says we're going to have a concert next Friday night and Joe Gonzalez is going to preach. The whole family chased him down the street and caught him and said, we know Joe Gonzalez. And we know his daughter Deanna. And this family is just so pumped up and excited they get to come hear Joe preach, you know. I mean, God did so many great things. It's just amazing. We had a testimony time at lunch and people getting up and sharing such wonderful things that happened. It was glorious. But we began in weakness and little bit of fear and trepidation and all the imaginations, and the devil is so good at building Hollywood sets. This is what's going to happen to you if you open your mouth for Jesus. This will happen to you, it will be sure, and it will be quick, and you will be dead. I mean, this is the way he works. But no, we don't listen to him, but we just work through the weakness like Paul did. He was there in weakness, fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but this is what it was. It was in the demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. How bad did Paul need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Real bad. He didn't have anything else to offer. He wasn't eloquent in his speaking. He was just coming in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. So important. Apollos needed that. He might have been eloquent, but he wouldn't have had any lasting fruit. Nor dare I say would he have ever been the pastor at Corinth unless he got this wonderful gift that Aquila and Priscilla mentioned to him, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we have to have. And that's what's lacking sometimes in our lives. When even we as Christians, older Christians, and we get used to our abilities, that things that seem to be natural abilities, things that we think, well, we've done this a million times, we can do it again. And so we forget the Lord. And we don't ask for that fresh filling. We don't ask for the fresh power. We don't look for him. We lose sight of him. And that's when things go south. That's when things go south. But when we're back to him and back to looking to him for that wonderful touch and power of the Spirit, then we move in the Lord. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And God does this wonderful thing, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, we've been studying a lot about the gifts of the Spirit and the book of Acts here, and we've been blessed with that, knowing that. And we saw as the disciples, actually in Acts chapter 19, Paul laid his hands on them. They began to speak in tongues and to prophesy, to receive the gifts of the Spirit. And that was wonderful to see those saints in Ephesus blessed by the Lord with what Apollos couldn't give them, but now could. And that's neat. And the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful and part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there is something that's even greater that we receive when we're baptized in the Spirit of God than even the gifts of the Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, verse 31. I hope you have your Bibles today. That's good if you bring your Bible to church and we look at scriptures together. If you don't have a Bible, we can give you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says this. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos and expounded to him the word of God more perfectly. And God here wants to show us a more excellent way, even over and above the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which he wants to give to you to help others. Because the gifts of the Spirit without this next thing aren't worth anything. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, chapter 13, verse 1, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am zero. I am nothing. And so I need to have the baptism of love. And actually, the biggest, greatest evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the love of God. the love of God, the ability to forgive, the ability to face the situations at work and in life and all around us through the love of God. How we need the love of God. There's probably people that you need in your life to forgive every single day of your life. There's going to be somebody that steps on your toes. Somebody that you have to let a bitterness go about because it'll eat you right up and make your witness null and void because you're bitter. If the root of bitterness is allowed to spring up, it will defile many all around you. And that will take away the helpfulness that you can bring to others. I need the love of God. I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need to be surrounded and engulfed and immersed in the sweet, wonderful, powerful love of God. And so the gifts are good, but the love is better. Now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Let's go to Galatians 5:22 on this. Galatians 5:22. Now, we don't know what it sounded like to listen to Apollos, except for that one section that I read about his learning and his eloquence. But if he was not yet baptized in the Spirit, he might have had a love problem. He might have been one of those preachers that just beats on the head of the sheep. You know, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Now get out of here, kind of stuff, you know, instead of the love of God. And of course, we can be like this one of two ways with our children, our grandchildren, with those at work. And when we have a bad day and we've forgotten to be immersed in the Spirit of God and ask God for help, we can have days like that when we're in the flesh, when we're just nasty and mean and not a good witness. But you see, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love. And notice that's a singular verb. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are all these things. It says the fruit of the Spirit is, singular, love. And these other words are just a description of what love is, because God has nothing more, nothing less than himself to give. And 1 John 4 tells us God is love. Love is God. And so when I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit of the Lord, I'm baptized in love. It's a really neat study to do if you compare the definition of the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13 with these words that are mentioned after the fruit of the Spirit is love. For instance, love is patient, love is kind. We know that. That's from 1 Corinthians 13 definition of love. Well, notice the word long-suffering in this list of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. One of those fruits is long-suffering. And what is that? It's patience. Love is patient. Oh, long-suffering is a description of love. Because if I suffer long with a situation or suffer long with a person, I'm being patient with them. And it's really neat to take these words after love in the fruit of the Spirit list and work them into the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. It's really a wonderful study. And sometime you might want to just sit down and do that, and you'll see that the whole thing is love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In these two, all the law and all the prophets are fulfilled. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary for you to receive the full punch of the love of God. I shouldn't put it that way, punch. It's more like a flow. Do another Coke bottle thing I always like to think about. I picture a Coke bottle floating in the ocean, and the ocean is God's love. And we get kind of stiff-necked, you know. We start going down like this to get a little feeling of the love of God, but we're stiff-necked, and we bob back up and bob, bob, bobbity all around, you know. We become the rockin' robin. But, you know, one of these days, all of a sudden, you just go, oh. and you find out that the love of God is huge. It's this giant ocean that just floods into you and blesses you. And when you're blessed and when you're loved and you feel loved, then you can love others. What does it say in the scriptures about marriage? I always was blessed with this verse. He who loves his wife loves himself. Think about that. He who loves his wife loves himself. If I'm filled with the love of God and I just feel so secure and wrapped and loved in the love of God, then I'm going to love my wife. So husbands that are having trouble loving your wife, you just go jump in the river of life. You just go jump in the pool of Bethesda and get filled with the love of God. And that overflows through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That love comes, and then Apollos can, with his eloquence and all of those other things that he had, then he can just look at the people he's talking to and love them. And they feel that love, and they're blessed with that love. And the love then overcomes the multitude of sins. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's glorious, and it's a wonderful thing that God does. My wife Sherry, when she was baptized in the Spirit, she's a quiet type person, and I'm a more loud person. But she was baptized, and she describes her baptism in the Holy Spirit as being baptized with the love of God. God in an instant showed her how wicked she is. And she, you know, I don't remember in her whole life, you know, and I knew her since she was 16 years old, her being wicked. But we're all wicked in comparison to the lovely perfection of God. And God just revealed that to her, her black heart. But in the same instant, he revealed to her how much he loved her and how he covered that blackness with his blood. And she just wept for 3 days, and that was her baptism in the Holy Ghost. She didn't receive any visible signs or gifts at that time, but she received that blessing and that touch of the love of God. How we need the love of God. Apollos needed the love of God for his ministry. The Apostle Paul needed the love and power of God, and we need the love and the power of God. And so we look to the Lord for that baptism in the Spirit. Let's end with chapter 5, verse 18 of Ephesians. Let's just end with that verse. Chapter 5, verse 18 of the book of Ephesians. A lot of people hurt out there. A lot of people needing love, a lot of people needing the care of the Spirit, and sometimes it hurts so bad, they drink to hide it. They drink to drown it. They take the drugs to just get away, try to get away from reality for a minute because it hurts so bad. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, we're in excess. The drinking and drunkenness only bring excess. Wine is raging, strong drink is a brawler. People fight more, beat people up, including wives, kids. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get that love need taken care of. Get the need to love and the ability to love others taken care of. How? Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, the way this is worded here from the original language is being filled with the Spirit of God. It's something that needs to happen every day. That can be implemented and be tools in that love that you baptize me with, Lord. Just baptize me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. And the Lord is so good because he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will he give the Holy Ghost? The Father will give the Holy Ghost to those who ask. We simply ask. That's how it's done. And all Apollos needed to do is go, Priscilla and Aquila, thank you. Will you pray for me? I want to ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was done. And so that's all you and I need to do. So let's just stand and pray together. Let's do that. How we need him every day, in every way, to overcome sin, to be a witness, to get past the fear, to go forth in the Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, so very much for these truths in the Bible. Lord, thank you for our brother Apollos, who Paul never said one negative word about our brother. But in the times that Paul spoke to him about him in the scriptures, there's just a love there for Apollos. And we thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for baptizing him in the Holy Ghost. And Father, this morning, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray that you would baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit. Why don't we just lift our hands up to the Lord? Just lift your hands to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's just ask him from our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit. Lord, touch everyone in this room. As you just lift your hearts and your hands up to the Lord, God can touch you right now, fill you to overflowing with his Spirit. Lord, just wash away any bitternesses, Lord. Wash away the lack of ability to speak your name. Lord, wash away, Lord, the lack of ability to love others. God, in Jesus' name, touch us by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have holy hands lifted to you in prayer, Lord, as we're asking for the sweet baptism of your Spirit. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you are doing that. Lord, may you bless this dear congregation as they go forth, Lord, in the power of the Spirit, in the love of the Spirit, blessed with the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, God, thank you so much now, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer room's open. Yes, Lord, we thank you. God bless you.